Chapter 10. Spiggy. At midnight, Spiggy was lying in a pool of water on Anne's kitchen floor, and Anne was wiping the floor around him. She had turned on the washing machine, gone to visit her grandmother, and returned to find the kitchen full of water.
"What did I do wrong?" asked Anne.
"It wasn't connected properly," said Spiggy. "But that's all. You did very well. Not many women can install their own washing machine."
"Thanks," said Anne, pleased with his observation. "But I must get my own tools."
"Hasn't your husband got any?" asked Spiggy.
Anne couldn't believe what she was hearing. Surely everyone in England knew about her private life, didn't they?
"I'm divorced," she said. "Don't you read the newspapers?"
"No," said Spiggy. "I can't read."
It was so nice for Anne to talk to somebody who knew nothing about her.
"Would you like a beer, Spiggy?"
"Thanks," said Spiggy, and he sat down at the kitchen table. "I'm divorced too," he said. "Perhaps we could have a drink together at the pub one night."
Anne looked at herself in the mirror. Should she cut her hair? Her hair had been the same style for years. Maybe it was time for a change.
"Yes. Why not, Spiggy?" she said, surprising herself. "I'll get a babysitter."
Spiggy couldn't believe his luck. He'd bring his camera and have a photograph of the two of them together. He'd buy a new shirt. He was going out with a real lady. Spiggy was short and fat, but he felt 3 meters tall as he drove away in his van. The noise from Spiggy's van woke Prince Philip, and he began to cry. The Queen held him in her arms. She would send for the doctor in the morning. On Sunday morning, Dr. Potter came to see Philip.
"He's very thin. When did he last eat?" she asked.
"He ate a biscuit 3 days ago," said the Queen.
"I think he should be in hospital," said the doctor.
"Should I pack a bag for him then?"
asked the Queen. Philip didn't know what was happening in his bedroom. In his mind, he was racing horses around Windsor Castle.
"I've got to find him a bed first," said Dr. Potter, starting to make phone calls on her mobile phone.
She explained to the Queen that the hospitals were full. There was no money to open new wards. The Queen sat on the bed and listened as hospital after hospital refused to accept her husband. There wasn't a free bed in the area.
"I'm going to try the mental hospitals," said Dr. Potter.
The Queen was shocked, but she could see that Philip was suffering from severe depression, so a mental hospital was probably the best place for him. Finally, a place called Grimstone Towers agreed to take Prince Philip the following day. The Queen thought the name sounded horrible. On Monday morning, the Queen took Prince Philip to his new home. It was better than she had expected, and at least it had been recently painted. Prince Philip had a pleasant bedroom with a picture of a ship on the wall. He changed into hospital pyjamas and got into bed.
"You can go now,"
he said to his wife. The Queen was happy to go. She didn't like hospitals.
"I'll come and visit you soon, darling," she said, getting up to leave.
The Queen found an airmail letter from New Zealand when she arrived home. She put on her glasses and sat down to read it.
"Dearest Mummy, I couldn't believe it when I heard the election results. Is it absolutely horrible living with poor people? I wanted to come home immediately to help you, but I'm working with a theatre company, and you know what they say, the show must go on. Our play, Sheep, is doing really well. The New Zealanders love it. We're leaving for Australia next week. I just hope that the Australians love sheep as much as people in New Zealand. I think of you all a lot. Send my love to the family, especially the children. Your loving son, Edward."
Later, the Queen went over to Anne's house to babysit for Peter and Zara. Anne was going to the pub with Spiggy. Spiggy had washed and dressed carefully. He had even cleaned his fingernails. Anne had also chosen her clothes carefully. She was wearing loose clothes that totally hid her figure. She didn't want Spiggy to think that their friendship might become sexual. The Queen watched as they got into the van.
If Philip knew about this, she thought, it would kill him.
She went back inside and turned on the television. Jack Barker was talking about the People's Britain. According to Mr. Barker, Britain was going to change. Everything was going to be cheaper and better. Taxation was going to be less, but more money was going to be given to the poor, to education, to housing, and to the National Health Service.
We keep our promises, said Jack Barker. We've already abolished the monarchy. We want everyone to be equal. No more privileges for some while others suffer.
The Queen thought this all sounded very good, but rather expensive.
Where is Mr. Barker going to find the money to pay for all these improvements? She thought.
As the Prime Minister continued to make fabulous promises, the Queen started to get tired. It had been a very long day. When Peter and Zara found their grandmother asleep in her chair, they switched off the television and quietly went to bed.